On Wednesday, October 8, 2025, the League of Women Voters, Bozeman Chapter, and the Bozeman Public Library co-sponsored a candidate forum for people that were running for the two open Bozeman City Commission seats. The forum was held at the Bozeman Public Library, and Sally Mason moderated the event. As a reminder, the opinions expressed herein are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the board or the volunteer staff of KGVM.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Sally Mason, and I belong to the League of Women Voters and have for some 24 years, and I've done a lot of candidate forums and love doing them. So tonight we have six, only one person is not here, but he sent a statement, and I will read it when we go through this. The format for the evening is that each candidate gets 2 minutes, and they'll be timed in the front. So candidates, when your time is up, they'll tell you. And if you forget, I'll remind you. We asked each candidate to answer a prepared question. And each candidate will have 2 minutes to do that. And after that, we'll take questions from the audience. So that's the format of the evening. We're done at 7:45, I believe, Beth? Okay. So this is put on by the library and the League of Women Voters. And we are all nonpartisan when it comes to election, totally. So fairness is key. So who would like to start with a two-minute introduction of yourself?
Start right down here?
Sure.
How about that?
Yep.
Beautiful. Here we are. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. Awesome. Well, first of all, I just want to thank everybody for being here, for engaging in civic duty. I think that is the most beautiful and wonderful thing. And to see everybody here and all the smiling faces really just makes my heart warm. I want to thank the League of Women Voters for hosting us. Again, that civic engagement is what the community is built on. I'm Trevor Nominuk. I'm running for Bozeman City Commission. I work at my 9-to-5 in media sales, which is how I got introduced to this job. I talk with business owners and community members every single day, and it was made apparent to me that a lot of folks in the community do not feel well represented or heard on the dais that is before the city today. So I'm here to be your voice. I want to listen to you. I want to do what is best for Bozeman. I want to lead Bozeman forward pragmatically. I look to use logic and common sense and transparency and accountability in driving my decision making and doing so with your opinions in mind. The rest of my platforms are all my platforms, I guess. Realistically, I'm running on public safety and fiscal responsibility, but you can learn more about those platforms at Trevor for Bozeman. That's TREVOR. Four is spelled out, trevorforbozeman.com. With that being said, I would look and encourage you all to reach out to me. My contact information is there. So what I want is I want to talk with each and every one of you. I want to sit down and have coffee or lunch or dinner, whatever it is, and really hear from you folks and carry your voice and your opinions in leadership in Bozeman. Thank you.
I've misplaced my starting page. Could we come back to me and I'll make sure I've got it? Thanks so much.
Okay, how close do I actually have to be? Here? That close? Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Emily Talego. I'm running for Bozeman City Commission. I have lived and worked in Bozeman for about over 15 years now. And so, like a lot of people in this room, I'm sure, I've built a life for myself here. For work, I do grant-funded project management for the Montana Nursery Landscape Association, and then I also work for Cashman Nursery and Landscaping. I do, it's nursery work, so you wear lots of different hats, but primarily do their marketing, sales, outreach, so any other seminar stuff, so it's literally my job to cultivate things that are beautiful and wonderful and enjoyable for everyone. So I've also served on a couple different city boards. So I was on the Midtown Urban Renewal Board. I actually started the Midtown Neighborhood Association and represented that group on the Inter-Neighborhood Council and actually had the opportunity to chair that group as well over the past year. And so throughout all this time, throughout all these years, I've spent thousands of hours, realistically, chatting with neighbors, different people throughout town, navigating through really difficult issues, trying to find common ground and consensus on things. And so I think, if I were to say why I'm running, you know, it's we need this steady, pragmatic leadership that focuses on the essential issues here. So 30 seconds left. Essentially, I'm going to be honored to have your vote. All of my information is online, telegoforbozeman.com. It's always difficult to get this done in a two-minute thing. So thanks.
How much did you want to pass for the moment?
You can come back to me.
Pardon?
You can come back to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, actually, I have a written thing from
Eli Anselmi. And this, I'm just reading it from what he gave us. This is a letter to all of you. To the organizers of the Bozeman Candidate Forum and to the residents of our community in attendance, I wish to extend my sincere appreciation for the opportunity to participate in this candidate forum and for the continued efforts of those who help facilitate civic engagement within our city. Regrettably, I will be unable to attend the event as my wife and I are currently out of the country on a long scheduled vacation. While I am disappointed to miss this occasion to meet with residents and discuss the issues facing Bozeman, I remain fully committed to an open, transparent, and responsive campaign. My priorities continue to focus on strengthening law enforcement and public safety, ensuring fiscal responsibility, promoting practical and balanced growth, and restoring a sense of common sense leadership that listens to the concerns of Bozeman citizens. I encourage all residents to stay engaged, evaluate each candidate carefully, look at what has happened and the decisions made in the last 4 years, and take part in shaping the future of our community through informed participation in the election process. Thank you for your understanding and for your continued dedication to the well-being of Bozeman. Please feel free to reach out with any questions at Eli Anselmi, that's Eli Anselmi, BozemanCC@gmail.com. Sincerely yours, Eli Anselmi. So, who would like to be next? Okay, Emma.
You think I've given this enough times, I'd be ready to just go. All right, well, hello, everybody. My name is Emma Bodie. I am a data analyst, a community organizer, and a current city commissioner. Before coming to Bozeman over a decade ago, I grew up in the mountain towns of the West, watching them change rapidly as locals were displaced and our natural environment was put under stress. I moved to Bozeman to earn a bachelor's and master's degree in environmental science, and I stayed here after graduating because of this community. As a student, I founded a sustainability club where we pushed to get a campus composting program in all of our dining halls and also divestment from MSU Alumni's Foundation, unsuccessfully. I've continued that work, volunteering for our local Sunrise chapter, organizing against corporate monopoly greed and for livable climate. I've also monitored the health of our rivers with adventure scientists. I've registered thousands of young people to vote with Forward Montana, helped Spanish-speaking immigrants settle in the Gallatin Valley with Bienvenidos, and I chaired the sustainability board for the city for 2 years. Last year, I sought appointment with the city of Bozeman for the commission seat because the life that I'm building here is starting to look a little bit more tenuous with an increasingly unaffordable housing market and a changing climate. The commission chose me for this position because of my record of community service. In my time on the commission and in the thousands of conversations that I've had on the doors in this campaign trail, I've heard from the community that Bozeman wants a town to be a place where people of every economic background and life stage can afford to live, where corporate landlords are accountable and responsible for their tenants, where we tend the land and protect key wildlife migration corridors, where we have safe and abundant multimodal public transportation, and where all people are treated with humanity. I'm invested in this vision because Bozeman is where I want to live for the rest of my life, and the actions we take today will define the future that we have here. I'm an experienced candidate and a young person hungry for change. I want to make Bozeman a place where no one's left behind. Thank you.
I want to thank the League of Women Voters for having us here tonight and for all of you attending. My name is Allison Sweeney. I decided to run for City Commission through my experience as a neighborhood advocate and my work with the Better Bozeman Coalition. My neighbors and I have been working for years to build community and relationships and restore older homes. Changes to the development code proposed in 2023 threatened to put that good work at risk. We organized to become an officially recognized neighborhood association, and I've had the honor of representing my neighborhood on the Interneighborhood Council. Digging into the development code, housing policy, funding mechanisms made me realize it is not just my neighborhood that will be destabilized by changing city policies. It is every neighborhood, and renters and owners will suffer alike. That's why a group of us from across the city got together and formed the Better Bozeman Coalition. Please check out our website. The resources page has a lot of information about policies we've investigated and proposed to the city. I want to address these issues at the municipal level. I've learned that over the years, our city has burned out powerful community assets, people who show up at a high level and volunteer hundreds of hours of time, only to see no change in outcomes. I want to be a leader that listens and adapts policy to community-centered solutions. I want a different relationship between our city government and the people it represents and serves. If you want a government that works with you instead of dismissively lecturing you from the dais, from a place of ideology, I want one of your votes. You get to vote for two. Sweeney for Bozeman. Thank you.
Okay. Roger?
Good evening. Thank you all for being here, and thank you to the League of Women Voters and to the library for hosting us. My name is Roger Blank, and I'm running for city commissioner. I'm an attorney, and I've been in practice for 27 years. I practice both state and federally. I'm a former prosecutor where I prosecuted violent offenders, and I was also a special prosecutor where I prosecuted public officials for official misconduct and corruption. After leaving public service, I started my own law firm. And outside of my legal practice, I am also involved in conservation, and I sit on the board of a South African-based animal welfare charity. My campaign is based on bringing proven leadership, emphasizing fiscal responsibility, public safety, and concentrating city government on providing essential services to the benefit of all of Bozeman residents, not favored special interest groups as the direction of the current commission, and also responsible, sane growth. You can find out more about me on my website, which is actually a work in progress. So if you signed on tonight, you're not going to get what I would want you to have. But if you sign on in a couple of days, you will. And it's Roger Blank for Bozeman, and the F-O-R, not the number four. RogerBlankForBozeman.com. And thank you. I look forward to engaging with you the rest of the evening.
Thank you. We asked the candidates to prepare a question. They each get 2 minutes to answer, and then we're going to take questions from you. The question we posed to them, what are your ideas for managing growth in the next 4 years? It's an easy question, right? Who would like to be first? Go.
Sure. Well, for one thing, we need responsible growth. And responsible growth is paying attention and listening to each of our individual neighborhoods. It is unfair for people who have moved into and bought into a single-family home neighborhood to then have a multi-level, dense housing right literally in their backyard, which is what the city now wants to do with the Fowler Extension Project. My goal, should I be elected, would be to kill that project. It eliminates green space, and it is not necessary. Currently, right now, Bozeman has approximately 20% vacancy rate because of all the building that has occurred in the last couple of years. So right now, we don't need growth. And I propose actually a moratorium on all new development until the UDC, the Unified Development Code, and the growth plan have been finalized and approved, more importantly, approved by the public, so that everybody has a roadmap. Everybody understands what is going on in that The developers will know what rules they have to follow. The neighborhoods will understand how that development will affect them. And development has to be fair. Where I live on Baxter Meadows. I live in dense housing. It is appropriate to build dense housing next to me or behind Lowe's, as you see the development behind Lowe's and behind Home Depot. It is not appropriate to build dense housing right next to Harvest Creek. And that's how we manage it, by being fair to the communities and, most importantly, listening to the communities. Because ultimately, what are the communities? They are us. And government should represent all of us, not the current special interest that government currently does. Thank you.
Who would like to be next?
Should we round robin?
Whatever. You want to go this way? Okay. Is that all right with you?
Yep. Okay. I have more ideas than will fit in a two-minute answer, so I'm going to give you bullet points. And Michelle has full-length copies to hand out afterwards if you want.
Hold it up again.
Rewrite our growth policy, strengthen and expand the neighborhoods program, rebuild our historic preservation program, support the expansion of non-market housing and neighborhood-friendly infill, empower advisory boards, and fully fund our fire and police. The growth policy is the overarching document that guides growth for decades to come. Right now, it is a very pro-density document while also allowing the city to expand to 70 square miles. So we will get both density and sprawl. Through my work with the Better Bozeman Coalition, I am ready to facilitate public participation in the rewrite of this because it wasn't done properly last time. Our charter recognizes neighborhoods, and our neighborhood recognition ordinance empowers them with rights. We are not currently living up to this part of our code. My experience as the Secretary of the Interneighborhood Council prepares me to get us back on track. Our historic preservation program has been systematically dismantled over the years, and it's time to rebuild it. Historic preservation is how we manage change, not prevent it. The landmark program has potential, but it could also fail from staff and commission apathy. I am not apathetic about our history. Housing, I want to be honest. No city commission is going to make the price of housing come down. It's a global market. It's out of our control. We can build housing outside of the market that doesn't burden taxpayers. We can also work with neighborhoods in creating pre-approved plans for acceptable infill. All of these ideas came about by listening to residents. I'm ready to work with you. And I'd like your vote on the city commission.
Okay. You seem to be in the middle each time.
It's all right.
That's all right.
I'm a middle child, so it's okay.
Oh, good.
I live in Midtown.
That works.
There's something there. Managing change. Bozeman has changed quickly. It's grown quickly. I think the big question is, are we doing it well? And it's going to be really difficult to know whether we are doing it well if we do not have trust established with the public. We know that that has been damaged. We know that work has to be done there. There's no pathway forward without rebuilding and regaining that trust. Again, I will echo that 2 minutes to talk about how you're going to manage all of the growth in the city of Bozeman is pretty tough. So again, check out my website for sure. And I would love to have this conversation with anybody anytime. So please reach out. But I do think that I think I mostly focus on growth that is rooted in functionality, right? So buzzwords are great: density, walkability, sustainability, blah, blah, blah. But like, it doesn't matter if it's not backed by the infrastructure and essential services that make it functional. So I think one of the most heartbreaking things that I've witnessed is where we see residents show up who care a lot and have them be dismissed as NIMBYs. But if we back up a little bit, what you see, you know, and humanize someone with those feelings, it's not NIMBYism. It's not obstructionism, right? What they're pushing back on is not density. It's dysfunction, right? And rightfully so. People want neighborhoods that work. People want things that function. And so we have to recalibrate a whole bunch of different city systems, everything from the way in which we manage parking to the way in which we assess cash in lieu of parkland. So I'm ready for that work. I understand the code. I have a high literacy for the legal framework that is contained in all those things. So, I'm ready to go.
Okay. I'm going to watch us all kind of like hunch over here to reach the mic. Maybe I'll hold it. How about that? Okay, so in the past year, I've seen my friends and neighbors be priced out of town in this community. Every day, thousands of people commute into Bozeman, creating traffic on our roads, degrading our air quality, and contributing to climate change. People who work here can't afford to live here, and we're at a crossroads in Bozeman with two choices before us. We could try to create a town that is impervious to the changing world around it, build a wall with our policies, pushing nearly all development out of town, and with it, the working class. Or we could recognize that stopping all growth is going to hurt a lot more than it will help, but we can direct how that growth happens. We can meet Bozeman's housing needs while protecting what makes our town special, but it requires building smart. Through well-planned urban development and strong conservation policies, we can create communities that are affordable, vibrant, and sustainable. In my year in leadership, we've been locked into a building code set by previous commissions. Since my appointment, I've worked to translate our community's values into a formula for our built environment by updating the building code and zoning map. I've supported both downzoning and upzoning proposals, allowing our zoning to match the infrastructure on the ground. Growth needs to pay for itself, but it's clear it's not. One tool permitted by the state that we aren't using is an impact fee on development for police. I would support leveraging this tool if elected. Secondly, sprawl is expensive. Building within city limits is one of the most efficient ways that we can support water, wastewater, streets, public safety, and this is why I support neighborhood-sensitive density and infill. Infill doesn't mean that we have to sacrifice our green spaces. I support our city policy to maintain the same parkland per capita as we grow, including trees and parks in our landmark program. And if elected, I'd also strengthen our conservation framework, giving teeth to our sensitive lands plan by incorporating it into our growth policy. We can't do this alone. We're going to need Belgrade and the county to make this happen.
Everybody says going last is an advantage. I don't know if it's just me being anxious, but I really like to get going first. But that being said, folks, I think the most important thing here is that thoughtful and responsible growth. Bozeman's growing. It's going to grow. How it grows is what we can kind of influence, right? And I think, quite frankly, that leadership needs to start right now, and I would like to do so by advocating against the Ward Initiative, and doing so, quite frankly, in a way that educates the public objectively. I sat today in a discussion where I got to hear from Sean Coates, the utilities director, and he read a stat. I'm going to read this quick. He had mentioned that Bozeman used 43% of allocated water supply in 2024, and that allocation itself is just 0.04% of available water. Secondarily, from a mathematical standpoint, 33% of units at 60% AMI for rentals and 120% for ownership is unfeasible. So, folks, I really encourage you to look into that. It's a huge, hugely important initiative, and it's going to affect growth over the next 4 years. So I think we need to start now. The second one, and again, this is what I'm built on, is transparency. I will bring back citizen advisory boards. They need to be involved in decision processes. Secondarily to that, one thing that I'm keen on is empowering young people and students. And so what I would like to see is maybe a piloted program through MSU in which we have a public polling service where community input is directly considered in decision-making processes. Number three, you know, just taking that balanced and well-thought-out approach to spread versus infill by using formal and measurable standards. It's time to update the community plan. To me, I think that needs to happen before the UDC is changed. Otherwise, it's kind of like the tail is wagging the dog. And then using those established tools and the future land use map to manage said growth. So those are some of the ideas that I have. Thank you.
Okay. And now here's the best part for you guys. You get to ask questions.
Ooh.
I have received one from an audience member that we're going to start with. So here's the deal on questions. Those of you who have seen me do this before know the rules. I don't want any speeches. Ask a question, a short question. And when did you, and try to avoid when did you quit beating your spouse, you know. You may ask a question of one candidate, but then everybody gets the answer, and everybody gets 1 minute. And we're going to start with the question that was handed to me, if everybody will bear with me. This came from the audience. How would you explain to people in Bozeman that in the USA, no adult is entitled to other people's money, and that the major problems in Bozeman are caused by unsustainable budgeting, an overregulated and overtaxed local economy, illegal immigration, and overtaxed and underpaid Americans? So how do you want to do this? Do you just want to volunteer? I know it's a big question. Want me to read it again? You want to hear it twice? Okay. But let's... How do you want to do this, candidates?
I'll volunteer.
What?
I'll volunteer to take the firing line.
Okay, well, let me read it again. Do you want to just volunteer for when you want to speak, folks? Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Or do you want to make it organized?
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever works for you.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Roger spoke up first, so he can start with his question. And then the next time we'll have Allison start, you know, blah, blah. Okay, here's the question. Ready? How would you explain to people in Bozeman that in the USA, no adult is entitled to other people's money, and that the major problems in Bozeman are caused by unsustainable budgeting, an overregulated and overtaxed local economy, illegal immigration, and taxed and underpaid Americans? There you go, Roger.
Okay.
Knock yourself out.
First, I'll quote, and I'm of an age where I actually remember when Margaret Thatcher was in office in the UK. And my favorite quote from Margaret Thatcher was, socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. And no one has any right to anyone else's money. Now, we do have taxes, and taxes are our contribution to our fellow citizen so that we can all live together and have a minimum level of services provided. So taxes, when they're reasonable, are fair. But also for the government to be entitled to our money, and it is a benefit that we give to them, they have an obligation to be responsible in how they spend our money. And unfortunately, both locally and in D.C., they are irresponsible. And part of the problem is the irresponsibility of the current commission in how it spends our money by legislating to favored persons.
Allison?
So, first of all, I'm going to suggest that the question is worded in such a way that it assumes I agree with it. yeah. The one thing I will say, my father raised me with the understanding that you can have anything you want. You can do anything you want. You can't have everything you want. And you can't do everything you want. So yeah, maybe you get to have a home. Maybe it won't be in the neighborhood you want. Maybe you get to have shelter and you'll have to rent. There is no place that has managed to bring down the cost of housing without a significant amount of that housing being non-market.
Okay, so how would I explain to people? So this is a lot for 1 minute. And honestly, I think I would probably need to have more than a minute to have some of this actually explained to me. There's some things that I can briefly comment on, and it has to do with the revenue streams or lack thereof in our city. A lot of times, good ideas come from everywhere. But when we try to calibrate them to the local realities of Bozeman, Montana, we have property tax. That's it. And so the revenue stream, and recently there's some nuance to that as well. I can't tell. Okay, we're at 30 seconds. But essentially, insofar as explaining that what people have a right to and what people do not have a right to, I'm going to reference the oath of office that you would take if I was elected. You have taken an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution, the Constitution of the State of Montana, and the Bozeman City Charter. So those are three big references that you can use to decide what goes where. Thanks.
Okay, so I'm going to start here by saying that division and misinformation are at an all-time high in our country, but that doesn't mean that we have to shy away from difficult conversations. In fact, it means it's more important than ever to have these conversations. I have a proven record of having hard conversations and ensuring that we don't sweep controversial topics under the rug. When I make votes, I combine fact-based decisions with listening to a full spectrum of our community. As your commissioner, I have been and will continue to be extremely available to the public because I believe that conversation and dialogue is one of the best ways that we can educate one another and come to mutual understanding. And that's how we combat misinformation and hate. I will just note we can't print money as the municipality of Bozeman, so we do have to balance our budget every year, and we are doing that. The state has taken away a lot of control, and I do think they are overreaching. It limits what we're able to do.
So, again, my entire platform is built on logic and pragmatic decision-making, not performative politics. And so with that being said, it is my belief that local government's sole job is to take care of its people, provide public safety, and facilitate economic conditions in which the community can thrive. I believe that those two things are, you know, the forefront of what's important to Bozeman and what's important to the people that I talk to every day. So you have my commitment that those will be the things that I focus on, fostering those economic conditions, balancing the budget, again, kind of internalizing that property tax revenue and determining where it goes and how it's appropriate. You know, folks, we all have to pay our taxes. I don't think anybody in here wants more taxes. So when it comes to, you know, providing public safety, for example, funding police and fire, there's really only one way to do so. I don't think a lot of people want to see more bonds or levy taxes. I want to see that come from the general fund.
Thank you, everybody. Questions from you. Would you stand to ask your question so people can hear you? The gentleman in the white shirt, and then you're next, sir.
Hi, my name is Evan. Can everybody hear me? Yes, good question. My question's for you, Allison. I know the ward initiative was something that you supported early on and collected signatures for on the votes. When I looked at your website recently, I've seen kind of no mention of it. And
your question, sir?
So my question is specifically, do you support the ward initiative now, and will you be voting for it?
Thank you. Allison?
So, 1 minute, not enough time to talk about Ward. This weekend, I'm doing a long-form interview that will be recorded about Ward, my history with the initiative, and for folks who don't trust the city but are smart enough to realize that the scare mail you've been getting isn't helping, please keep an eye out for that recorded interview. I was involved with the Ward Initiative early on. I stepped away for a number of reasons. I'm doing way too many things, and also had some family health stuff come up, not with myself personally, but other members of the family. And it kind of became the straw that broke the camel's back, and I had to step away from something. I didn't want to give up running my neighborhood association. I didn't want to give up running the Better Bozeman Coalition. My work season was starting with art festivals, and I knew I was going to be traveling, so I did step away from the initiative.
Are we all answering the same question?
Yes, same question. Yep. Everybody gets a minute to answer the same question.
Okay. So I guess I'm answering the question if I support Ward or not.
Yes.
Okay. So I've spoken about this at a couple of other forums. I have some information about this on my website as well. So as it's written right now, I could not in good faith support the Ward ballot initiative. There is a forum, same place, tomorrow night, so yes, Everyone can come out and learn more about it. But just as a read of it, it seems like there's some some issues trying to align a single ballot, single issue on a single citizen ballot. So, for example, it assigns the units by a random lottery, right? Even though it restricts the cost that you can charge for one, and that's I think concerning for me. Also, we do know that for the rental in particular, we cannot get that level of affordability without subsidy. I live in Midtown. That's where 1,200 units of affordable units have already come in. Nothing has been able to happen without a subsidy.
Emma?
This is a dangerous policy, and I don't support it. Professionals in and outside of the city, including MSU economics professors, water conservation specialists, affordable housing experts, urban planners, they all agree it'll have devastating impacts. It'll drive up the cost of housing, building new housing, artificially inflate the value of housing here in town, meaning that your property taxes are going to go up if you own, rent goes up if you rent, and if you're looking to buy, that just got a whole lot harder. The result is that developers will build in the county where fewer restrictions exist. Accelerating sprawl in the county is bad for our wildlife because it cuts off key wildlife migration corridors. It's bad for our public safety as road builds in the county are often less safe. Think of Stuckey. First responders will have further distances to respond to life-threatening conditions. And it's bad for our water. Building in the county, you don't hook up to city water. You're on exempt wells and septic systems. That's just rough for our rivers. It's important to be smart with our water. We have a lot of work to do on affordable housing, but this is a dangerous policy I can't support.
Okay. Trevor?
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough. I got here a little bit early with my friend Jim here, and him and I sat down and we talked. And, you know, the conclusion that we both came to is water conservation is imperative to our future. I let him know that it is my position that is this ward is not the tool to facilitate that. Again, folks, I would really encourage you to do your own research, understand the initiative as it's written, the implications. I would hope I would think that a lot of you folks, once you do so, you can kind of come to your own conclusions, right? But for me, I'm a big no on it. I think we need to attack water conservation and the housing affordability in a much more practical way. And again, I encourage all of you to educate yourselves on this before we vote. We need a vote. Vote yes or no. Please don't not vote on this.
Roger?
First off, my opinion doesn't matter. And how often do you hear people running for office say that? Because you're all going to vote on ward, whether it passes or not. It is all up to the public. That being said, the question is, does ward get us where we need to go with affordable housing? And I don't believe it gets us there. However, more importantly, I look at ward as a symptom. And the disease is the failure of the city commission to address these issues. So the public initiated ward, got it on the ballot, and now you're all going to decide. So I think the message is that city government has failed at what the public wants addressed. And I think how you vote will send a message to the public, to the city commission, that there's a failure here in responding to the public's desires. Thank you.
Thank you. Tomorrow night, let me just reiterate, tomorrow night there's another candidate forum that will start at 6:30, and the first part will be the mayoral candidates. And the second part will address the pro and con of the ward issue. Sir, your question.
Sally, beg forbearance. It's a complex question. The question is directed to Allison and then the others.
Okay, couldn't you speak up a little bit so that everybody can hear? Thank you.
You have professed your desire to be a commissioner. You have been an advocate, an activist, a recruiter for ward, a policy that everyone agrees is not a good policy, and there are many third parties that also agree with that.
Please put your question up.
How do you justify the fact that you've created a monster and the city alone has spent over $100,000 to educate and resist this initiative? In what way do you serve your future constituency with that kind of dereliction?
And your question. Okay. Your start.
First of all, we don't know that everybody doesn't support ward because we haven't voted yet. Secondly, does anybody trust the city? After 10 years of fear-mongering about our water, our permanent drought condition, our bills that say drought reserve every single time. So I'm not surprised the city spent a bunch of our taxpayer money. Also, you, sir, have come back from your home in San Francisco as a developer to fight. Oh, time.
Who wants to be next?
What is the question posed to the rest of us?
I know. How does that go for everybody else?
I'm willing to take questions specific to me, though.
Okay, so you don't have to answer. You want to pass? Everybody, you want to pass, Roger? Okay.
What if we do, everybody gets two
questions? What do you mean?
So she's already done one, so she's got another one coming.
No. I don't understand all that. So, okay, the gentleman in the back standing.
Can I address that question, the board question, real quick?
Oh, sure. Wait a minute. Roger wants to speak to the previous question.
Just to the degree that this addresses Ward, or any policy, I support market-based responses to the issues we have. Rather than top down from the commission down, it should be coming from the public up. And we have an obligation to listen to the public. We have an obligation to act on their behalf. And should I be fortunate enough to be elected, that seat is not my seat on the commission. That seat is your seat, of which you've given me the privilege of sitting in. And I am obligated and I would be honored to represent you in sitting in that seat. Thank you.
Okay. There was a gentleman in the back. Yeah, you. What? Oh, sure. Sorry.
I just want to address the $100,000 statement. The city typically has spent $50,000 educating on ballot initiatives in the past, regardless of what the topic was. That's what we have set out to spend on this current ballot initiative. There is $100,000 set aside, but the commission has not approved the spending of the other $50,000, just as an educational piece.
Does anybody else want to say something?
Go. Since we're continuing on the ward topic, I just want to say that I am someone who actually a hobby is to do puzzles. It seems like a low stakes way of restoring some order to the chaos of the world. But so I'm very much interested in things that are effective. And the issue with the policy as it's written right now, and I mentioned this earlier, is that the 30% at, or I'm sorry, yeah, 30% at 60% AMI, it just cannot pencil without a subsidy. When COVID happened, we didn't have a whole lot of supply, and the demand skyrocketed. I had a lot of peers who had pre-approval letters in hand that no longer live within the city limits. Some of them have gone to Sheridan, Montana. Some of them have gone to Rapid City. But they could no longer compete because the supply had dwindled. If we do not have a means to get market rate units online, I'm very, very concerned that we could be there again.
Sally, I'll go.
Okay.
I can't be the only one, right? Yeah, folks, so again, I want to echo what I've heard up here, especially in terms of the math and how it checks out, right? Simply put, the math is not mathing. It's kind of a young person term, but it's true. And quite frankly, what will happen is it will negatively affect supply, which in economics terms means the price is going to go up. So the demand's always going to be there. If the supply gets cut, the price is going to go up. I want a home or own a home in Bozeman. I want to raise a family. I want to stay here and be a part of this community forever. Ward will effectively inhibit or prohibit my chance to do that. Thank you so much.
Okay. The gentleman, yes, in the blue, who's been up and down four times.
So I'm just going to pivot quite away from the current issue, but I've been to all the forums and I've heard all the candidates address the fact that there's limited money to do anything. So that's an important issue. And I haven't heard anything about like what ways this budget could be managed to allow for other options, whether it be other kinds of subsidies for affordable housing or anything else. So, but I have a specific question.
Okay.
Would anybody of the candidates consider rolling back some of the As I understand it, 50% of the city's budget is devoted to police. City police. That seems like too much.
Okay, your question.
If you want to adjust that proportion in any way,
okay. Wait a minute. I just want to say one thing. I'm sorry to be such a stinker about this, but I want to get as many questions as I can, and so I'm really going to bug you to keep it short. Okay. Who wants to be first?
Oh,
you.
Ladies first.
Emily.
It's my turn. It's my turn. I'm going to own that.
Oh, yes, Jeff.
Give this to me. I'm the middle child. I've had enough of this in my life. As far as the police, I think any organization can benefit certainly from audits, right, on organizational management. Where are things going? I would be hesitant, given what we're seeing right now. It's my understanding that we're not actually at 50%, and as a percentage of the budget, we've been on a decrease of funding our police department. It was very unnerving within the last year or so when it was reported that at the county there was a 14-year backlog of sexual assault cases. That was really, really concerning. 30-some percent of those had come from the city of Bozeman. I have serious, defunding the police or reducing police budgets doesn't always just mean, we're not Chicago. We're not LAPD, right? Like, I don't want to see us not be able to fund rape kits because we've defunded the police. Thank you.
No, we're going down the line.
Sally. I believe we were alternating who was starting. So yeah, we'll go this direction. Great. Thanks. So I feel strongly that when someone's in crisis and they call 911, the team with the skills best suited for the crisis they're in should arrive. And sometimes that is the police. Sometimes that is the fire department. And I believe that we need more resources for behavioral health. There are a lot of people who are in mental health crises and addiction. That not necessarily the police or the fire department is who they need in that moment. So having this portion of our budget going to police, I would like to see us invest in a more holistic approach to public safety. And we have to do that not just here at the city of Bozeman, but with the county as a whole. So I would be in support of a public safety levy where we can work with the county to actually address this holistically. I think that answers the question. I'll stop there.
I would not be in support of a levy or a bond or anything else that's going to cost the taxpayers directly more money to fund the police. I also would not support cutting the current allocated budget to the police. It's my understanding, and I might be wrong here, but I was told that in years past we had allocated 30% of budget to police, and now it's 24%, and so that's decreasing already. Bozeman's growing. We already, as Emily had mentioned, are seeing negative impacts because of lack of public safety. And again, that is local government's priority number one, is keeping the community safe. So I want to, and I think we need to fund the police, the fire, the EMS. Public safety, to me, just to put it out there, also incorporates roads and water and sewage and whatnot. But we need to fund the police, and we need to do so appropriately. I got 15 seconds. I'll use this opportunity to once again thank you all. And use up all my time. Thanks, guys.
First off, I've worked for the nation's largest police force. I was an attorney for the NYPD. And there I actually prosecuted corrupt public officials. But I can tell you right now, Bozeman, the emergency services, the police, fire, and EMS are underfunded and overworked. So not only should they not be cut, but there has to be an appropriate spending of resources to bring them up to speed to manage the growth that Bozeman has gone under. I believe our police force is still the same number as it was in 2009. So I don't agree with cutting the budget at all for the police. I believe in the expansion for not only the police, but also for the fire department. Public safety is primary. You can live in a great environment. You can live in a great house. But if you don't feel comfortable going out at night, it doesn't matter. And there's a lot of discomfort among people in this community that don't feel comfortable going out at night. And that's because the current city commission has wasted their resources and wasted the time of the police where they shouldn't have.
Allison?
So, yeah, I have the same numbers as Trevor, that we used to fund the police at 30%, and it's been dropping now to about 24%. Earlier in the spring, I took the Citizens Police Academy, and it's something I recommend everyone do. You learn so much. It's 8 weeks. And then I also just finished the Citizens Fire Academy to learn about the men and women working in those departments. I can tell you they show up every single day and do an exemplary job with not enough resources. Our ambulance situation is getting critical. Okay, so there's going to have to be a tough community conversation. Bozeman already said no to a levy. So what are we going to cut? Sometimes you have to trim the fat.
Yes, you.
Sorry.
You had your hand up for a long time.
Yeah. So as I'm sure a lot of people know, we have a Bozeman study commission going on right now. And if you don't know, educate yourself. It's really important. One of the issues that is being talked about is warts. Not ward, but warts. And I'd like to ask, I'll ask Emily, because I have to ask somebody, to talk about the pros and cons of this, and especially the pros and cons of regional versus at-large.
Thank you.
So I'm not on the study commission. So I guess thinking about geographic representation, I could see pros and cons with it. We are not actually that big of a place, relatively speaking. However, I do think, as somebody who lives in Midtown, our neighborhood has never had representation on the city commission. And I think you can see the difference. And so I don't know if having a geographic boundary with a specific ward is necessarily the solution. My understanding is that if you're a city commissioner, it's on you to go out to all neighborhoods, all different parts of town, to your constituents and visit with them proactively. But we just have seen that may be just a very idealistic view. And it's not okay that some neighborhoods don't have the same sort of representation.
Thanks. Yeah, I think there's been several commissions in which all of the commissioners lived in the southeast quadrant of Bozeman. That is our historic core. There's a lot of people who are engaged in that quadrant of Bozeman, and yet the west side is our fastest growing side of town, and it's different over there. I know because I moved to the west side this past December, and I'm now the only commissioner that lives north of Maine, and I think the only commissioner ever to have lived west of 19th. I think there are some challenges with wards in that there needs to be enough interested people who want to put their name in the hat. And I would worry about drawing wards in such a way in which there, you know, weren't people invested in running for office. But I think we can draw them smart and strategically and make sure we have large enough geographies where we could maybe get some geographic diversity on the commission.
Yeah, this is a wonderful question, one that I think we'll probably face as Bozeman continues to grow, right? I'm going to use a personal anecdote. So I've been out door knocking primarily on the south side, and I hear a lot of the same things. I've recently allocated a lot of my time to the west side, and one of the wonderful doors that I got to knock on was a gentleman by the name of Jeff Krause. He also, by the way, had mentioned that I can explicitly use his name. One of the concerns that he brought to me is that a lot of those folks over there feel like they're underrepresented and not heard and quite frankly forgot about. And so with that in mind, I made it my, you know, initiative to spend more time over there talking to those folks and going back to the public safety. How many of them have kids that they want to be walking to school, but they don't trust, you know, the traffic to allow for that, right? So back to the wards question, there are certainly benefits in having representation that, you know, is specific to certain areas of the city.
I've been active with the Charter Commission in attending their meetings, and I recommend everybody go because ultimately the Charter is going to be our new constitution if it passes. So it should be a product of all of our values. That being said, the recommendations that I have made to the Charter Commission are that the mayor should be elected at large. We should eliminate the position of the city manager, because right now the most powerful person in Bozeman, the city manager, is not elected by any of us and not answerable to any of us. They're only answerable to the commission. So I do support a strong executive mayor that we hire to run the city for us. I also recommended a four-year term versus the going in as the deputy mayor for 2 years and then becoming mayor after 2 years later. But also I do support the broken down districts, because each district should have its own representation. I also support an expansion of the commission in accordance with our population.
So I'm really glad you asked this question. The government study commission is doing the most important work going on right now. There is a community survey. Please, everyone, go online, find the community survey, and take that survey to let the government study commission know how you feel about all of these issues. There's a lot within the purview of this charter, and there's a lot of things that aren't also. So the question about wards, to me, it could be a great idea. It's been done well in other places. It could also, you know, turn out not so great. I think that's true of every form of government. One thing that we'd want to be careful about is we would need to structure it in a way that empowers working class and underrepresented neighborhoods, because gerrymandering is a thing. So,
just as an aside, my daughter Becky Franks is on that commission, and I urge you all to go to the meetings. Okay. Okay, the woman waving, yes, you.
There was an advertisement in the paper yesterday, I believe, from the Common Sense Political Action Committee. Treasurer is John Hawk, Jr. I'm wondering if any of you candidates are working with this Political Action Committee, or is this Political Action Committee working on your behalf?
No and no.
Will you repeat the question, Roger?
Sure. The question was, is the Political Action Committee, the Common Sense Committee, are you working with them, or are they working on your behalf?
Thank you.
I am not working with them, and they are not working on my behalf. I am literally an entirely independent candidate.
Yeah, I don't know who they are. They should list their treasurer on the ad, as you said. I don't know who that is. They're not working on my behalf. When I filed to run as a candidate, I signed a C3, which is a pledge to not negatively campaign. So I have nothing to do with smearing.
Okay. If you can't have the mic.
Always a middle child. No and no.
Not working with them. The ad in the Chronicle was an attack ad against me, so I'm also not clearly being supported by them.
Yeah, I'm also not working with them, and they're not working on behalf of me.
Okay. Question. Oh, my word. You know, everybody has a question. There's a woman in the second row. You. You've had your hand up a long time.
I have a question for Trevor. Early on this evening, you mentioned that you'd like to see the role of citizen advisory boards increase. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so I think going back to almost the idea of fair representation in neighborhoods, right? We used to have neighborhood advisory boards that were directly involved in decision-making processes. And citizen advisory boards are a wonderful way in which we can formalize that process of transparency and accountability, holding the city leaders accountable for what the public really wants. After all, you know, the way that I see this position is I'm hired by the public, and if they want to fire me, you know, quite frankly, they should be able to too. But that's the point is that we need to be listening to the people that hire us. So I would like to see that done, and I think we need to see that done. Thank you for your question.
Yeah, so just some history here. In the past, there were over, I think, 40 citizen advisory boards, and a past commission condensed them down into 6 super boards. They were having a hard time making sure that there was enough people appointed to each board to meet quorum. And so I understand the logic there, but I do think that we went a little bit too far. I think that we could potentially use a couple more boards than 6. And I served on a sustainability advisory board for 2 years. I was frustrated with the lack of real meaty items that we got to weigh in on and what kind of advice we got to give to the commission. I know that the entire commission is really interested in revisiting our boards and restructuring them so they can be more meaningful. The volunteers that give their time to these boards can more meaningfully participate. I would also support creating a neighborhood association for every part of Bozeman. I think we need that representation, and this is an important extension of our boards.
So the way in which boards used to work, when a policy or something like that would come forward, somebody had an idea, it would circulate through all these different boards, and we are such a blessed community, have so many volunteers volunteer their time. A lot of them had a theme to them, so there was some expertise there that we could draw on from the community. And so as something would circulate, it would refine the policy. So by the time it got to the commission, it was polished, right? The commission didn't have to do all this guesswork about whether or not people were going to be angry about something. And so when we lost that, so note, God forbid we ever have another pandemic, but like, don't do stuff like that during a crisis time. Bad move, right? I mean, nobody knew about these things. So there's a lot of stuff that happened during COVID that I think was detrimental. It wasn't a good time to restructure things, but I want to see us get back to that place where we are refining the policy so we don't end up with pitchforks up there because nobody saw it coming. So,
I have a couple of concrete ways I would like to see the advisory board's power strengthened. Right now, there is no standardized way for the recommendations and the feedback of those advisory boards to make it to the actual commission. I think we need to standardize whether it's the commission liaison that is going to give a report of the past weekly advisory board meeting during the commission FYI. The commission meets every week. They can do a recap of board meetings. There's also a resolution, and the number escapes me right now, but it's been referred to as the one board, one voice. So advisory boards are put in a straitjacket and prevented from having the necessary conversations about things that are within their purview. So that needs to be revisited. These boards need to be able to have the conversations.
Well, I think the citizen advisory boards are a vital democratic representative process. But should I be fortunate enough to make it onto the commission, I will have an open door policy so that I hear all of the community's voices, not just of the advisory board. And that is just as important because you might not sit on a board, but that doesn't mean the idea you have isn't going to change Bozeman and change it for the better. And I will have an open door policy, and I would hope that the rest of the commission would also feel the same.
I think we don't have time for any more questions.
So each candidate gets 2 minutes to say why you should vote for him or her. But before we do that, I want to say, it pleases me so to be able to live in a community where people all come out and are interested in the whole process and to have candidates who are willing to run for office and spend lots of time and lots of effort trying to make it happen. So thank you to all the candidates, and thank you to all of you for coming out. So who wants to be first for the last 2 minute event?
Again?
Sure.
Kicked it off.
Knock yourself out.
I got to start by saying, God bless that woman. How cute is she? Oh, my goodness sakes. Thank you. This has been a wonderful, wonderful experience. I cannot express how much the participation means to me. This is the first campaign that I've ever run. Kind of fumbling through it, but it's been a blessing and a wonderful experience just to get to talk to people. I tell you, you know, I think we all know how wonderful the people are in Bozeman, but when you get to physically and you know, deeply engage with them, it really, really brings to the forefront of just how amazing the community members are. So I thank each and every one of you. With that being said, again, I want to hear from you. I want to represent you. That is my entire goal here. We don't come out here and, you know, give our opinion for nothing. And so if we can get that opinion into the two ears of a city leader, that's what we need to be doing. And I want to be the leader that represents your voice. So again, I would encourage you, check out my website. That's Trevor for Bozeman, for spelt out. I can't express enough how much I want to represent you and your voice. And my commitment is to do so unequivocally, committed to transparency and accountability. You have my word. If those things resonate with you, vote Trevor Nominuk for Bozeman City Commission. Thank you, and God bless you.
So for the last year, I've been doing the hard work of serving in the role as a Bozeman City Commissioner. So I'm ready to hit the ground running. I'm extremely diligent. I show up prepared. I do my homework. I'm accessible to my constituents. With a background in community organizing, I know how to build relationships and bring a diverse array of voices into the room that truly represents the breadth of Bozeman. With my education and professional experience in data analysis, I know how to be objective and make data-driven decisions. I'm clear-eyed about the challenges facing our community and search for solutions that address the needs of all residents, not just a few. I know what it's like to be a young renter in this community and how difficult it is to get into the current housing market. I don't own a car, and I bike everywhere, so I've experienced the results of mismanaged growth and urban sprawl every day. Hearing from you directly is important to me. My team has already knocked on thousands of doors across town and plans to knock 1,000 more before Election Day. Respected local leadership and organizations have seen the way I lead and are excited to support my candidacy. I've received an endorsement from Montana Conservation Voters, from Montana Senior Vote, Bozeman Tenants United, and Run for Something. State legislators Cora Newman, Eric Matthews, Kelly Cordham, and Becky Edwards have endorsed my campaign, as have County Commissioners Zach Brown and Jennifer Boyer. I'm a commissioner who stands for the needs of our current residents while also planning for the future. Since day one in my position, I've pushed to use the power we do have to make the best decisions we can for this town. Together, I know we can build a Bozeman where nobody is left behind. I know not everyone had their questions answered today, so I want to note that I will be doing a meet and greet at the Steep Mountain Tea House. It's towards the end of next week, so if you join my mailing list on my website or follow me on Facebook or Instagram, you'll get the invite. That website is bodieforbozeman.com. Thanks so much.
Well, this is fun because I didn't actually know we got a two-minute closing, so here we go. Yeah, so it's wonderful being here because I'm seeing so many familiar faces in the room. I've been showing up in this neighborhood and in this town for a very long time. Whether you've come into Cashman Nursery and I've helped you pick out plants for your place, whether it was going to a seminar up at MSU when I ran a research lab up there, I have a deep love of this community, and so I'm really honored to be running. Steady, pragmatic, ability to focus on things. So we need to talk about growth that works for Bozeman. It has to be planned, predictable, and it has to be in step with the infrastructure that we have and the services that we can provide. We need community-centered governance so that decisions are made with the people, not just for them. We also need common sense policies. So streets, water, essential infrastructure, again, and we also, we can respect professional expertise, but also know where to push back as well and challenge things. We need to spend our budgets wisely, and we have to focus on results. What we have seen over time with the commission is there's a whole lot of intention, not a whole lot of impact. I have a reputation for showing up. I have a reputation for actually getting things done. I have a reputation for moving things forward and getting things back on track. And I do love puzzles for fun. listening, leading together. I will listen to you. I will go back and I will troubleshoot and I will come up with some type of plan. I will lead us through that. And I'm going to make sure that we all do this together. Thank you.
I also didn't know we were given time for a closing statement, so I didn't write one. I also didn't know you were Michael's grandmother. We're talking about
Michael's,
that later.
I am Michael's
anyway. I want to empower all of you to know that the status quo is not inevitable. We do not have to become generica. We can adapt policy and growth to suit the needs of the people who are here now. And I want to do that with you. To be a neighborhood advocate means that you don't dismiss the people you disagree with. You work with them, you meet with them, you have conversations with them, and you figure out a solution together, because nothing ever gets solved by not talking to someone. I want to be a leader that listens. I want to work with you. I would like one of your votes for the city commission. You get two. Michelle has the full-length papers about my ideas on growth, so please grab that. Visit the Better Bozeman Coalition website for a lot of collective community ideas. And then my website, Sweeney for Bozeman. And I would love to meet with you. I'll meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime. Thanks.
I've really got a very simple answer for you. If you believe that Bozeman is being run well, then don't vote for me. But if you believe, as I do, that Bozeman is not being run well, that the commission has been fiscally irresponsible, they've been negligent in listening to the public, know that I offer you seasoned, proven leadership, and that I will work with you and I will listen to you. Because I myself got into this race and got involved in pursuing public office because I wasn't listened to. And because I know what it's like, I live in Northwest Bozeman. And I know what it's like to be ignored by the city commission. No matter how many times you give public comment, they do what they want to do anyway. And I will be a different kind of commissioner. I'll be a commissioner that will always have an open door. I will always listen to you. And even if we disagree on policy today, that doesn't mean that we will disagree on policy tomorrow. So I will build bridges. I will work with you. And I'd be honored to have your vote. Thank you.
So that concludes the evening, but come back tomorrow night. What? Oh, wait, don't go away. One more thing. The League of Women Voters, the National League of Women Voters, has put up a website. So if you put in your, it's called vote411.org, vote the numerals 411.org. And if you put that into your computer, what will come up is where you live and who's running. And each of these candidates, including the guy who's not here tonight, have filled those out. So there are questions that they have to answer, and they do. And what's wonderful is that everybody who's running, including the man who's not here, has filled that out. So you can get more information about the candidates through vote411.org. Okay, I'm done.
That was a candidate forum held at the Bozeman Public Library on October 8th of 2025, co-sponsored by the League of Women Voters and the Bozeman Public Library. This was for candidates for the two open seats for the Bozeman City Commission.